Can I first of all say an absolute massive thank you to all of the people here that are actually already giving to Tear Fund, for those that regularly give, for this church that has been giving to us over many, many years. I want to say thank you, because without your gifts, we can't do the work meeting the needs of the poor that we're able to do. So thank you very much. We value your partnership in Tear Fund's work. If we think about our reading, if we look at our reading back in Mark, Jesus had led his exhausted disciples away from the crowds in a boat to an isolated place. He wanted them to rest. He cared for them and their human bodies, and he knew what they really needed. However, in verse 34, it says the crowds followed them. In fact, they actually got there before them. But when the disciples and Jesus arrived, Jesus saw the crowds. He had compassion for them, and he realized they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. And that's what we see in our own life. Jesus having compassion on us, teaching us, and even after many years of walking with him. It got late. There was a sudden realization, don't know why it happened, hadn't happened earlier, that the crowds would need something to eat. The disciples' first thought was to send them away, but Jesus had a much better idea. Now, Jesus answered and said, "You give them something to eat." Now, often Julie tells me that I go into solution thinking mode. What's the solution to the problem that I have? And that's what it was like for the disciples. Well, shall we send them away so that they can get their own food? Shall we buy them their food, like 8 months' worth of wages, so that they can eat? And I'm always trying to fix things, as the disciples were. But Jesus, he pushes on. "How many loaves do you have? Go and see. What do you have?" They came back, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus blessed them, and he handed them out to 5,000 men, sat in groups, and they all ate until they were satisfied. God is truly good. And it wasn't just 5,000 men. It was 5,000 men and 5,000 women and children. And that's what it was like back in 1968, when Tear Fund were actually formed. There was a crisis in Biafra, which is part of modern Nigeria. And if you can remember back 50 years ago, onto your little, small, black and white television screens, who remembers those? I mean, I do. I don't remember seeing this footage. But at that time, we saw pictures of children with descended tummies starving. And Christians across the UK said, "We must do something about this crisis. What can we do?" And they sent money into the Evangelical Alliance to meet the needs of the poor, the people who were starving in Biafra. And money flooded in, and the Evangelical Alliance used that money to help the crisis in Biafra. But there were lots of other crises going on, and they had a great deal of money that was being given. They realized they needed to make a specific organization to meet the needs of the poor in disaster situations, in conflict, and so they decided to create a new organization. And that organization was called Tear Fund. And George Hoffman was the man that was chosen to be the CEO of that company, or the organization. And so Tear Fund, in its own right, was formed. George Hoffman used to go up and down the breadth of the country talking to churches in the UK to engage them in the work of Tear Fund. While overseas, there were experts that were meeting the needs of the poor and the people that we were trying to serve. That's 50 years ago. Tear Fund have got 50 years of experience. And in 2006, Tear Fund thought they should redesign their logo. They wanted to make quite sure that people understood we were a Christian organisation. our center was built on Jesus, and they decided to change the shape of tear fund, of the T, into the shape of a cross. Now, tear fund, you may not know this, tear fund, it stands for the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund. And in our Jubilee last year, we actually put a cross, like concreted a cross, into the very middle of our head office building in Teddington, at the very heart of our organisation, the very heart of our worldwide work, over 50 of the poorest countries. We invited George Hoffman's daughter to come to that service, and we dedicated the Jubilee year to God. So 50 years on, we're still working. We've got 50 years of experience. And even in the last 10 years, we've seen 40 million people being helped out of material and spiritual poverty. Communities have been transformed. Those on the brink of disaster have become self-sufficient. They've been empowered through working through the local church. And it's through organisations that are in country, as Gilly mentioned, in country, that understand the greatest needs of the communities that they are serving. Tear Fund is committed to the Sustainable Development Goals, which is to, and there's a belief that we can end extreme poverty by 2030. This is possible. And last year's Jubilee reminds us of God's intention for society. In Leviticus, we read that consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. In the 50th year, slaves were set free. Properties were returned to their former owners. It's like rebalancing the Monopoly board. You play Monopoly, at the end of the game, someone is completely rich, someone is devastated and has nothing. It's like resetting the board and starting again. Society is even. Everyone has the same. That's God's plan. And today we're going to talk about the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's the second largest country in Africa. You can see how big it is when it's put over the top of Western Europe. It's a very big country. And it's God's plan to establish a good society there too. It's blighted by conflict. And people ask, how can justice and liberty ever be established there? There are 87% that live below the poverty line. And 2.3 million people have fled their homes due to conflict. There's a lot of militia and conflict in that country. It's a fragile state with repeated talk about Ebola. And in our recent prayer, our weekly prayer email, there was a situation in one of the centres where they're trying to treat Ebola. A militia came in and was attacking those people there. It's so difficult. Now, to be poor in the DRC is bad. But women are even more vulnerable than soldiers. They're often targets of sexual violence, and they have virtually no voice at all. So how does Tear Fund help the poorest and most vulnerable? How do we help to establish justice? And one of the questions you're here, Tear Fund, asking is, what do you have in your hands? It's not, here is Tear Fund's money, we are going to give it to you to solve your problems. It's, what do you have in your own hands that you can actually make a difference and help yourself out of poverty? I'm going to tell you about a young girl called Burungi. If you pick up these little leaflets that might be on your pew, this is Burungi. This is her at 22. However, if we turn the clock back to when she was 13, she was at risk of being married off to an older man in order that she could finance some of her parents' poverty. And her uncle actually heard about one of Tirfan's Christian partners, Action on Trade. Now, they're committed to bringing hope and restoration to people like Burungi. Now, a Christian, a partner for Tirfan, they are the people that are in country. Tirfan doesn't go to these countries and do all the work. They actually have Christian partners that are often part of a church organization. They live in the country, they understand the communities that they are working with, and we provide them with grants for several years, and they fulfill the needs of the people in those communities. Not because they say this is what you need, but by asking those communities to ask themselves that question. Now, the word on trade is French for self-help. They are empowering people with skills and training that will help lift themselves out of poverty. And Burungi was signed up on a sewing course. Now, it's not just training skills that we do, but we actually use Bible studies to illustrate the issues. Now, imagine you're Burungi, sitting in a hut in the DRC or outside of your hut and hearing the message from Romans 8. Hearing that you are an heir to God's kingdom, that you are not seen as a slave and worthless, but you as a woman can call God Abba Father. That's an amazing thing for her to hear. The word of God is transforming, and that's why we use Bible studies. She, at that time, started, once she'd had the training, she started making clothes. It was her hands. She was using what she had in her hands, her sewing skills, that were unlocked by Action on Trade. She sewed, and she earned, and she saved. Some of her earnings she spent on a better sewing machine. She bought a piglet. She bought a cow. She's continued to develop her flourishing business. And at 22, she has a tailoring business and a potential. Burungi is delighted by her newfound stability and economic independence. And she says, now I can buy food and clothes and take care of myself. This is amazing. And even more exciting is for her restoration and freedom that she has in Christ. Burungi holds her head up high, defying limitations put on so many young girls. She's now confident in her identity and as a precious child of God, capable of great things, and she's choosing her own path, no longer carrying a label of just a woman. She is actually a role model to those around her. What could be better? Hers is a story of restoration and redemption. It's a great story. And Mother Teresa, she said, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. That's what Burungi is able to do now. And if we look in the situation in the DRC and in countries across the world, it's easy to see the problem is too big. But already Tirfan, with its Christian partners, is transforming lives. Now, I wonder if you would like to consider a closer relation with Tirfan. I know today there's going to be a retiring collection for the situation in Africa. But if you'd like to join Tirfan in their work with the development, future development, and see the end of extreme poverty by 2030, I'd like you to consider engaging with Tirfan more than you already do. Because it's easy to detach ourselves from the people that we're asking you to imagine. People like Burundi. Today we've looked mainly at her life since she had the training. But imagine what her life would have been like had she not had the training. Married off to an older man in a cycle of poverty for herself and potentially for her own children. So if you'd like to cast a stone on the water and create some ripples with our longer term development work, if you'd like to engage and become a regular giver for Tear Fund, for just £12 a month, you can make a difference to two people like Burungi. Two women or girls, and for £6, just one. And if you do feel prompted, I'd invite you to become a regular giver. If you look at the card that I've sent, put out on the leaf, on the form, if you wanted to do that today, just fill in your details and come and see Gilly or myself at the end. And we'd love to give you, I meant to mention this earlier on, these little key rings, there's some of these on the end of each pew. These were actually made by girls in DRC at Action on Trade. Do have a look at these. These are not brilliant. These came back from the DRC. This is the first things that they learn to do when they're actually being trained. And you can see from what I've said what's happened to Burungi since she did something like this. If you'd like to support Tear Fund regularly, I'd love to give you one of these as a thank you and as a reminder of the impact that you're having on girls like Burungi. And this is just one example of the work that we're doing across 50 of the poorest countries. I've actually got some more of these that have just come through that are slightly better quality. So I think someone was... These are girls that are slightly further down the road than these initial... ones, but do have a look at these. If you're not sure and you'd like to think about it, you can always just fill in your telephone number and your name and tick the box, and a member of one of my colleagues at Tear Fund can give you a call back. As Burungi said, I long to see girls restored and set free. And as I also said earlier on, I want to thank you for your ongoing support for Tear Fund's work. Thank you for your prayers. We are so fortunate in this country to have the freedom to both worship God as our Father, as daughters and sons, knowing his immeasurable love for us. And we want others across the world to experience that too. Please do come and chat to Gillian and I at the end. We'd love to talk to you about that. We're staying for lunch. Thank you so much for inviting us. We'd love to talk to you about our experiences in Malawi or our experiences with Tear Fund. And if it's okay, I'd just love to close in prayer. Thank you, God, for your living word. Thank you for your love and provision for us. Amen.